Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, live and on location.
Hello there, and welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from Discount Drug Mart. Just at our fingertips right now, we've got lotion, we can protect ourselves from the sun, we've got disinfectants.
We've got thousands and thousands of cotton balls.
Cotton balls, body wash.
We've got Jerry's old-fashioned popcorn.
It's Jenny's. It's
Jenny's Jerry. Popcorn. My eyes are bad, sorry. And we're in the frozen section, so it might get chilly. I might have to grab my hoodie.
DVDs. Case you find us
new releases.
Boring.
The yep. Gold label for $1.99. That is a two-day rental.
I didn't even know you could still rent DVDs, but you could do anything here at Discount Drug Mart. It's basically like Disneyland.
I walked back to the restroom. I was like, I could fix my toilet. Yep. I could fix light bulbs.
Yep.
I could decorate for Halloween and Christmas all at the same
time.
Yes,
they do have some decorations. I was thinking about picking some up on my way out. So come and see us. We're here on South Medina Road at the Discount Drug Mart. So come on out here. Say hello. Xavier Cooper is here from the Browns. Joe Schobert will be with us as well today. And we're going to hear from Josh McCown talking about what it means to him to be back and have an opportunity to play again for this team. We'll hear from him in our first hour. John Costco will join us at 2 o'clock, as he always does. We'll do a little after further review. So a lot to get to. But let's just start with the Tribe last night.
Yes.
Pull out the brooms. You get the sweep. And I said it before. I said on Twitter. I said on the show. The difference between regular season baseball and playoff baseball is the biggest difference of any sport. Now, and I know in football you could say, and you played in the league, playoff football, the intensity's ratcheted up, et cetera. But you guys go all out. The crowd is engaged regular season. There are games in the regular season
Correct.
That are like playoff yes. games, whether it's a division game, et cetera. In baseball, there are 162 games. There's
right.
not like one game that you single out of the season. It's like, oh, okay. Maybe at the end of the year when you're playing for the
playoffs. Or maybe there's a few matchups between, like, you know, Baumgartner, you know, Kershaw that feel like, you know, it's the best of the best playing that day.
Right, but it's still even not even like Cavs.
But it's
Warriors,
one of 161
regular season basketball.
Yeah, correct.
But last night, I mean, when you get in there and every pitch, the tension, the excitement,
I'm telling
it
you,
was a little bit of an adventure.
I was
with
getting
Cody
a little.
Allen.
The only thing, Cody Allen had me getting a little nervous because with his inability to throw strikes.
Okay,
dude was painting everything but the strike zone, and as you could tell, I think in the eighth and the ninth, the Boston batters got a little bit more picky in regards to what they were going to swing at, because I think that it wasn't so much so they were swinging to change the game or change the game with one swing. It was, I need to hit the ball hard to beat these Cleveland Indians. We need to get a base runner on, and we need to get someone in a scoring position sooner than later. And that you have to hit the baseball hard to do that. And they were swinging, you know, very judiciously to put the ball in the play in places that would allow them to get some extra bases.
Yeah, and I thought it was just a brilliant job. Coco Crisp going yard.
That was awesome. I watched this, and this is right along with the Cavaliers. I watched more baseball in the last 4 days, 5 days, in that three-game series. I watched more of the three-game series than I watched the Indians all year long.
Yeah.
And that's just because, obviously, baseball wasn't my first love. That was basketball and football. But even furthermore, like you said, 82 basketball games. As much as I'd love to tune in and see LeBron each and every night, catching his highlights of what he and Kyrie and Kevin Love are doing is what's worth it to me. And what really matters, and I think what about halfway through the season when the Indians were in first place, listen to the really big show and Tony Rizzo. It's like, can we hit the fast forward button and get to this point right
yeah.
now? And I think for the Cavaliers, it's the same thing. You play 82 basketball games, and whether they're the first seed in the East or the second seed in the East, it's can we get to the finals already?
To the finals,
can we get to the finals, which is what matters, which is why LeBron is here in Cleveland, bringing one championship. And I think the same can be said while we're going to look to the matchup with the Warriors and maybe the matchup with the Spurs or whoever else is going to be, the Knicks now with Derrick Rose and Carmelo.
Uh-huh.
But even furthermore, it's like, can we get to the finals already? And what really matters?
That's all that matters.
It is.
And the NBA and football, obviously the playoffs. But that last night was just, it was fun.
With football, it's get to the tournament.
Right, get to the tournament. And
get
then
to
it's
the
on.
Tournament, and then it's on. Anything can happen.
Get to the dance, and hopefully we'll be talking about the Browns and the dance one of these years here coming up. By the way, the roster move for the Browns yesterday, signed Jonathan Cooper off of waivers.
How about that? I asked you about that on Sunday.
And there he was.
There he was.
They put Austin Ryder on injured reserve and also released Fabiano, the offensive lineman they'd signed late last week as an emergency guy. So Jonathan Cooper, former 7th overall pick in the draft, left that year. Traded from the Cardinals to New England in that Chandler Jones trade in the offseason. We talked with Joe Scalavino from Patriots.com on Browns Countdown after you left.
Right.
He said, I asked him, I said, what was the deal with Cooper? And they said, well, he's a little bit banged up. They needed a defensive lineman to be up for this game. And so they released him. And he said, at the time, they were hoping to get him back. Obviously, that didn't happen. The Browns' top waiver priority. They claim him. That corner we talked about, Benny Benwerke from Carolina, ended up going to Miami. They claimed him. He's a young guy. He's a guard. You know, and to me, I was asked about it earlier today on the radio, and I said, why not take a chance on a guy that everybody in the NFL agreed at one point had the physical tools? Now, he did have an injury early in his career with Arizona, but give him an opportunity to come in and to play.
And to what, 26, 27 years old?
He's young, right? Greco's at right guard. He's a little older. I also think gives you a little insurance at the right guard position if you need to slide Greco back into center if Cam Irving doesn't get the job done. He's a guy that could be the heir apparent to Greco at guard, and why not take a shot?
Absolutely. Why not take a shot? You're going to get him at, you know, vet minimum salary at this point right now. He's not you're not guaranteeing his salary for the remainder of the football season. So he is, too, on a week-by-week contract with the Cleveland Browns. And I think this is very good to bring in a guy, as I mentioned, who's 26, 27 years old, who can shake up that offensive line room and add a little bit of competitive nature. While you've got Sean Coleman and Spencer Drango, guys who, you know, you hope, you know, grow and are groomed to become the future of that offensive line, you add a guy like Jonathan Cooper, and if he can return to the form with which he was drafted at, he can become the mainstay, you know. And
absolutely,
it's like, as there's the, you know, because things are going to change, things are going to evolve.
Things will, and it's, again, getting young guys who have the athletic upside and the talent and giving them an opportunity to come in and earn a spot on this team and earn an opportunity to be here. Find out, can Jonathan Cooper, a guy that a lot of people like, can he end up being a building block for this Cleveland Browns team? That's one of the questions that they certainly hope to get answered this season with him. 216-578-0850. Again, we are live from the Discount Drug Mart, South Medina Line Road in Copley. Come out and see us. Xavier Cooper is here. We'll have Joe Schobert here as well. So come on out. They got everything set up. Everything you need, by the way, is at Discount Drug Mart. And let's
talk about Discount Drug Mart.
It's great. It's great.
It is.
It is great. I'm happy to be here. It feels good.
It feels good. I've got one probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 minutes from my house. And the Discount Drug Mart people have always been great to us, you know, on these remotes over the last 3 years when you and I have done this show. And I just go in, and I ultimately, I feel like it becomes a little bit more like Target or Costco to me, where you go in for one thing.
Oh, yeah.
And because they have everything, I walk out with more than I need.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Can't come in here, can't come into a place like this hungry or feeling like you're just going to load up your cart, because that's exactly what you'll do. You'll get all kinds of goodness out here at the Discount Drug Mart. So come out and see us in Copley, South Medina Line Road, 38 South Medina Line Road, for today's edition of CBD on Remotes. Now, last night, how about Carolina losing once again to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And what's the deal with Roberto Aguayo? Take him to the kicker in the second round. The guy can't make a field goal.
Hold on. Even winner. We'll get there. He'll hit the game winner. That's all fine and good. But what's up with Cam Newton on the Segway in the street in Charlotte during the week?
Riding
without a helmet.
Better than the guy who was riding that hoverboard on the top of a skyscraper.
Yeah, but still. Okay, this guy's the face of a franchise. He is out with a concussion.
Yes.
And he is not wearing a helmet. Okay, on a Segway. That's just not a good look.
No.
And I think that is a, to me personally, that is a Manziel type of move. Doing something that is just a full-on bad representation of himself and his and representation of his franchise and his teammates.
I agree with that, but it's not like he was holding an illegal substance or drinking while he
I'm not
doing
saying
it.
That. I'm just
saying if we're going full
I'm just talking about broad spectrum, doing something stupid.
Correct.
That looks bad upon you and also upon everyone else that you're associated
with. That's fair. I thought it was very interesting that he would do that. And then Derek Anderson had a couple just boneheaded plays. The interception to Olsen in the end zone was a horrific decision.
I was watching the Tribe.
Well, I watched the Tribe too, but this happened after the Tribe.
Okay. And I went to bed.
Greg Olsen came through for my
celebrated.
Fantasy
I popped my my champagne with the Tribe.
Oh, did you?
No.
Did you put on your goggles?
I went to
did
bed.
You, did you put some goggles on?
No.
So you don't. You didn't get any, you didn't get any. You didn't get anything in the eyes there. 216-578-0850. That's the number to call us, or you can come out and see us live here at the Discount Drug Mart in Copley, South Medina Line Road. Come on out. and say hello. The Browns this week getting ready to take on a Tennessee Titans team top 10 in the NFL in defense through the first five games of the season. Their points are high because they've allowed some of those defensive touchdowns, but they are top 10 in the NFL in defense in terms of yards allowed per game. This will be a tough test for the Browns, and we still don't know who the quarterback will be. Cody Kessler, we know, still in a lot of pain, expected to return to practice tomorrow. Josh McCown expected to return to practice tomorrow as well. What do you think ends up happening there at that quarterback position?
I said it yesterday. I believe the trainers and the medical staff will give Josh McCown and Cody Kessler a percentage of where they're at. He's about 85%. Okay. And I'll be very honest with you. It's like, you know, there are medications that are not illegal that you can give to a guy to get to from 85 to 95 or 75 to 85. And be very honest with you, and we've got Xavier Cooper sitting in front of us, and we'll get to talk to him later, is everybody at about this point is playing at about 85%,
sure,
maybe 80%, some less, some, you know, he's shaking his head. That's just the fact of the matter. And you want to hold out as long as you can before you start relying on those. And I mean, this is a, you know, very honest. And so you start relying on those pain relievers to get you to go out there and play, you know. And so it's a tough situation, but I think you gauge how both of these players can grasp the game plan. I think ultimately, you don't think, going back to our conversation yesterday, you don't think I've got to go with the developmental guy, because that is not the mentality of our head football coach. Our head football coach wants to win football games for the dog pound, wants to win football games for this team that has been working so hard and has been so close three out of the five football games that they've played in.
Yeah.
And if Josh McCown is healthy and can go out there and execute the game plan, I believe he'll get the nod.
Yeah. So you would go back to McCown even though Cody Kessler's done a good enough job. I think he's done a good enough job to stay starting. I don't think – because remember, our big concern was, would he retard the development of the players around him? And we've seen – I don't think we've seen that. I think we saw Gary Barnes' best games this year have come with Cody Kessler quarterback. Terrell Pryor's best statistical games have come this year with Cody Kessler quarterback.
Yeah.
They were in position to beat Miami, in position to beat Washington. He had a great drive down against New England to make it 7-7. So I think he's shown enough that that's really the question. Now, I understand what you're saying, because if Josh McCown gives me a 10% better chance to win, we need to get that W. We need to get that first win. But I think Cody Kessler's done as good, has looked much better than anybody could have expected him to, and I hope that he gets more opportunities. I can tell you from talking to guys in the locker room, they respect what he has done.
I agree.
Very much, and are very much on board with
him. But even furthermore, I would imagine, you know, if we had a candid conversation with Hugh Jackson off the record and talk about some of the limitations, you know, of the game plan construction based around what they thought of Cody Kessler. Now that has grown week by week as he's gone out there and put positive performances. And as you said, grasped the game plan very well and executed it at a high level at times in all three football games that he partook in. But I have to imagine that Josh McCown, who is a little bit more of a gunslinger and not so, you know, banking on, you know, his accuracy, will push the football down the field a little bit more. And I think that is the one thing that I think has been missing from Cody Kessler's football game, and Hugh Jackson has been kind of hesitant to call those plays with Cody Kessler and risk him throwing the football, A, across the middle, which we haven't seen an awful lot, besides maybe Barnage on a 7-yard turnaround in between, you know, two cover three linebackers. That's just basic stuff. But throw the football down across the middle, those big digs, the crossing routes and so on and so forth, and then throw the football down the field, the 3 to 5 to maybe 6 times that Hugh Jackson really wants to force the football down the field.
The other thing, too, to think about, though, is who has he had the opportunity to throw the football down the field to? He has not gotten to play with Corey Coleman, and we started to see it in that Patriots game, kind of what I talked about leading up to it. Take away the run, roll the safety to Pryor's side, and then dare Hawkins and Lewis and Barnage, who's not a vertical tight end, to beat you. And I think that's the problem right now. I think Corey Coleman coming back opens a lot of things up
yes.
for this offense. And I think the fact that the offense has been reasonably productive without him is a testament to what the guys up front and the running backs have done, but also to what Cody's been able to do, what TP's been able to do. And last week we saw Hawkins get the touchdown. But that's the scary thing, right? I was asked, you know, did the Patriots show the blueprint? We knew the blueprint. Stop the run, double-team Terrell Pryor, and dare Hawkins, Ricardo Lewis, Gary Barnage to beat you.
Absolutely.
And they're not going to make you pay in a way. They may like nick you and slow bleed you, but they're not going to just gash you.
No, and that's where, you know, the dual threat of Terrell Pryor, Corey Coleman, their ability to stretch the field. And now that we've seen Terrell Pryor run the full gamut of routes, we know that Corey Coleman – via training camp, can run the full gamut of routes. That's the real threat. I think Barnage, Coleman, Pryor is the real offense that we're going to look at as we move forward.
All right, when we come back here, remember, we are live at the Discount Drug Mart in Copley. Come out and see us, South Medina Line Road. Xavier Cooper is here. We will talk with him in this first
hour. The line is out the door, folks.
Get here now, or you won't have an opportunity to rub elbows with greatness. So come on out and see us, Discount Drug Mart, Copley, South Medina Line Road. We will be here till 3 o'clock. Xavier Cooper here till 2. Joe Schobert comes in at 2 o'clock, and we'll be here for the final hour of the show. Still to come, John Costco from Pro Football Focus will be here with us at 2 o'clock. We're going to hear from Josh McCown, and we'll talk with Xavier Cooper. And take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. You want to talk Tribe, you want to talk Browns, let's do it on CBD.
They should be doing it like yesterday, like leading up to it. You know what I mean?
Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, live and on location. Kissing you would hit the spot with me.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, live on location at the Discount Drug Mart in Copley, 38 South Medina Line Road. Come out and see us. Xavier Cooper is here. And Matt, this just in.
What is it?
Today is getting better by the second. Bob in Millersburg has given us his top 10 memories of NFL week number 5.
Here we go.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Number 10. First Energy Stadium may be the house the Syntax built, but it was sickening to see Patriot fans take our house by force.
It was.
And yes, it was. That was unlike anything I've ever seen there. This early, sometimes at the end of the year, there could be a Steelers game, and they travel from Pittsburgh. It's an hour away.
Correct.
But that was Robert Kraft got one of the loudest ovations of the day just walking on the field. That's not okay.
He did. And you know what? It's a unique circumstance with Brady returning. But to be very honest with you, and I've said this before on the Browns countdown, I was used to something like that because of playing with San Diego Chargers. We were not good. We were not good. When people were like, oh, who does my team play and where am I going to go this year for our one road trip? It was always going to be San Diego. So the lower bowl was a conglomeration of that team's fans and Charger fans. That's why there was always some great fights that took away from watching how bad we were in 2003 on the football field. But I'll be very honest. The city of San Diego became very supportive when we started to win, which is why it's a fair weather, you know, type of area. That's sure. That SoCal area is very fair weather. How everybody's off of the Lakers already with Kobe gone, and they're finding, you know, they're now Warriors fans because they reside in California. How funny is that? But when we won, and I think that's, you know, for these young players and for the management and ownership, is when they get it right on the football field. There will be no better place to be on Sundays than First Energy Stadium.
Absolutely not. All right, here's number 9, which makes me think that Bob did not watch the entire game. I really wanted the Browns to draft Roberto Aguayo, and the Monday night football ending really stung looking back to Cleveland-Miami. First of all, Roberto Aguayo missed about 8 field goals in that game, including a bunch of 30-yarders. And I think Cody Parkey has done a great job bouncing back from that game in a very difficult situation. And I would go so far as to say the 51-yard field goal that he hit against Washington, I mean, I know he said that he didn't feel any extra pressure on that kick, but there was extra pressure on that kick coming off that Miami game, and he booted through. I'm very happy with the kicking situation here right now. This Monday after Browns feat was more tumultuous to watch than the previous 4, so I spent my Columbus Day holiday in Columbus, the city Matt Wilhelm built.
Oh, geez.
Unfortunately, it had to be the Browns-Patriots game to continue solidifying my position of deferring to the receive the second half kickoff. Of course, that's what the Patriots do every single time. They go for that double dip. And Gostkowski missed that field goal. Otherwise, they would have tried to have that double dip.
Correct. And I'll be very honest. And that's something I even talk about, and I talked to our the Westlake High School football coach about. Dude, let's defer because he's so worried about wanting to get out fast and set tempo. But yet, for whatever reason, our kids just don't do that. And so they always usually go out and lay an egg, and we're down 7-0. And we got the ball.
Yeah.
So I'm like, might as well give them the ball, let them get their 7. At least we guarantee, you know, when we make our fixes, which we did this past week at halftime, we come out, we get it right, and we go get that score. Because we did have a 4-minute scenario where we got points before half and then would have been able to double dip, but we had to kick off. Luckily, we made it a 3-and-out, and before you know it, you know, the game was over.
Number 6, the Tom Brady first down celebration was more embarrassing the time I was interviewed by the crew on the Access Hollywood bus. A little pop culture there from Bob. Number 5, I became very anxious watching Browns countdown because Hanford Dixon still looks intimidating. And he was ready to play. He was fired up. Then he says, Matt Wilhelm, don't worry. You also look intimidating on Browns countdown, but more in a cross-examination type of way for a moment. Thought Tom Cruise as Lieutenant Daniel Caffey and a few good men was sitting at the end of the panel. It must have been that great hair.
It is that great hair.
It is that great hair. Said, I stuck with Gronk for Zagura's recommendation. It finally gave me fantasy points, but I end up miserable watching him rack up yardage against my Browns. Number 2, while I'm indifferent to Pote's touchdown tomfoolery, I thought Andrew Hawkins going cyborg after the touchdown was very clever and original. Did you see he put it down and he did a little bit of, gave a little bit of a robot?
Yes, I did.
I liked the robot. I would have liked it to go on a little bit more, though. A little like.
But that's just not his personality.
Get this in here. And he said, clipboard Jesus played hard, but we were crucified by Pontius Deflate. Oh, Bob. Well done. Well done. Ah, yes. That was one of those interesting games there on Sunday for the Browns. And I think the crowd, you're right, it will be the best place to be once this Browns team turns around. The other thing to think about is maybe because you've got, you know, LeBron winning the title, the tribe going on so well. Stipe Miocic is the UFC World Heavyweight Champion.
He was there this past Sunday.
Maybe Cleveland's just becoming a tourist destination. Maybe we just have to accept the fact that this is a place that people want to be.
You're absolutely right. And I think
the, you're looking very tan, by the way.
Thank you. You know what it was? It was sitting in the club seat getting baked the entire football game watching
it
the Browns.
Looks nice.
Yeah.
It looks
thank
nice.
You.
Yeah.
But that being said is what was really cool and I talked about in the pregame show is, you know, knowing the amount of national attention that was on the Cleveland Browns Patriots contest because of the return of Brady gave these guys the best opportunity to feel what like being under the spotlight really is. Cuz there was nothing cooler for me in my entire career than playing in Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night when you know everybody's watching.
Absolutely.
And it's your opportunity. It's their opportunity to see. It's your family at home's opportunity to see you finally play if they can't see you regionally or, you know, on NFL ticket or whatever it is. But they get to see you, and you always wanted to play your best. That's why, you know, as I said, you know, last year I think it was, you know, Joe Hayden wearing the camouflage tights. It's just different. And I think it was different for these guys, and ultimately they learned a hard lesson. But as I said yesterday, I believe this is a football game that you put behind you very quickly, and you move on and you dive into what looks like a very winnable football game against the Tennessee Titans.
You certainly hope it is. You were able to beat them last year. You were able to beat them in 2014, the last time you went to Nashville on that late comeback, the biggest road comeback in the history of the National Football League, and you hope to make it 3 years in a row over the Titans. When we come back, we're going to talk with Xavier Cooper, who's with us right now. He will pry him away from the masses here at Discount Drug Mart so we can bring him to you over the air. But come out and see us at DDM, Discount Drug Mart in Copley, 38 South Medina Line Road. For Cleveland Browns Daily, we'll be back with Browns defensive lineman Xavier Cooper right after this.
Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, live and on location.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live on location at the Discount Drug Mart in Copley, 38 South Medina Line Road. Come out and see us. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, joined now at the table by Browns defensive lineman Xavier Cooper. Xavier, how you doing, man?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Good. It is good to have you here. Obviously, the team is not where you want in terms of wins and losses, but I think a lot of progress has been made on the season. What's kind of just the state of the team right now?
Well, right now, the state of the team is, you know, what Hugh's been preaching all along is we got to trust the process and continue to buy in. I think, you know, when you're looking at being 0-5, you know, you tend to have guys looking the other direction, but I don't see anybody in our building doing that. I think everybody's, you know, going to continue to buy in and go out there and try to get a win this Sunday against Tennessee.
Yeah.
And how about you, Xavier? I asked you a little bit off air, but give everyone an update. I was there at the game. Mm-hmm. You left the game with a shoulder. It was questionable return. You did, in fact, come back. You know, where are you at health-wise, and are you going to be up and ready this week?
Yeah, well, I'm day-to-day right now. I think for me, it was a choice, you know, to either not play or to play, but the way I feel about this organization, the way I feel about my teammates, I had to go out there and give it all. And so I went back out there and tried to give it my all. You know, obviously, that's what you talked about earlier is, you know, nobody right now is playing 100%
right.
In the NFL. Everybody's banged up. So that's something I just had to deal with and move forward and get ready for this Tennessee game.
So the Pac-12 pretty well represented now in this defensive line between yourself, Danny Shelton, Steven Paya, who's coming, and I think been a nice force. Danny playing well. You guys seem a lot more comfortable this year. Is that a scheme thing? Is it who you're playing next to? What's the reason for you guys having so much success up front?
Well, I think it's just, you know, experience. You know, this is our second year now, and we're starting to now get the new – we're not worried about the things that we were worried about last year, you know. You know, we're just playing, I guess you should say. And I don't think there's anything new. It's just we're gaining that experience out there that we didn't have last year all the time. You know, I was, you know, rotational. You know, Danny, you know, was out there, but, you know, wasn't seeing a lot of reps on third down. Now he's seeing a lot of reps on third down. So I think we're getting that experience, and I think that helps a lot.
What has Paya brought to that defensive line room?
Paya's brought, I would say, just that confidence, you know, being that he's a 6-year vet, you know, telling us young guys, look, when it's all said and done, the film is our resume. We got to go out there and play no matter what the scheme is, you know, who's saying anything. We just got to go out there and play. So he's, you know, constantly talking to us like, look, it's a new game, new week, and that's how we approach it.
Absolutely. And the one thing that you talked about is getting those reps. And just talk about how comfortable that you can get in a football game instead of coming in for a snap or two, then coming out for a series, mm-hmm. and then coming back in. That kind of, you know, that chess match that we see so many teams use and that we've used in the past, where now you're able to go 3 consecutive plays, get a beat on the guards and the tackles as you go against them to see, you know, is what are they doing what you saw on film, and how can I now take advantage of it play after play after play?
Yeah. I say when I study film a lot, you know, guys tend to show their you see their weaknesses. So the more times you're out on the field, the more times you get to actually get those.
And you can set them up as well too.
You can set them up. So you see guys like Von Miller, they may rush high a couple plays and then boom, back inside. So right. it's really a chess match with the offensive linemen, because they're told to block a certain way, and we're taught to rush a certain way, you know. So that it really comes down to a chess match. But at the end of the day, I really believe our D-line is going to be one of the best, and I think, you know, we're so young, but we're continuing to grow every game.
Well, I think there's been a lot of progress up front. Certainly you look at where the Browns were against the run in 2014, 2015, and now you look at the Browns and where you guys are now against the run this year, having much more success, and I think that starts up front. A lot of hurries, a lot of penetration as well from that team up front. Let's talk about just kind of, you know, last week going against Tom Brady, obviously a tough situation for any defense, but, you know, you expect when you go against Tom Brady, you expect him. Was he as good as you thought he was going to be? Was he better than you thought he was going to be? What did you expect going against a guy, you know, who has the resume of Tom Brady?
Well, I read somewhere that he felt like he was rusty. I didn't think he was rusty.
406 and 3 touchdowns.
I don't know. Shoot. But I think Tom's a competitor. I heard him out there periodically chipping at his offensive line, telling them to block or do something. So I know he's a competitor. But, you know, just being out there, obviously, you know, they've been fortunate to have, you know, 3 Hall of Famers. Like I said, they got Gronk, they got Tom Brady, and then, you know, Belichick, you throw him in there. So I think we're developing that at the Cleveland Browns. And when we start getting Hall of Famers, you'll see our progress, you know, start to grow. And we got, you know, Joe Thomas, he's one of them, but we have to continue to build that and continue to get great players in here and get them to buy in. I think that's what we're doing right now.
Absolutely. And part of that process is the coaching. And that's the one thing that Nathan and I can talk about. Hugh Jackson brought in a very veteran staff. Just talk about the defensive line coaches, Coach Nunn, Coach Delgado, how they're grooming you guys each and every week to play to your strengths and have you out there on Sunday playing your best.
Well, I think, you know, Nunn, like I told you, like I talked to you guys previously in the summer, you know, Nunn's been around. He's coached, you know, JPP. He's coached Justin Tugg, Olsen Meyer. So he knows about, you know, putting these guys in position and telling them what to do and what's going to work on Sundays. And Coach Delgado is the same way. He's always hard on us, reminds us every day what we need to work on. And like I said, it's easy for me to sit up here and say to the fans and to the people, it's a process, hold on, buy in. But I'm telling you, it's coming. The turnaround is coming for Cleveland. I promise you that.
And it's been close. I mean, and you know, to be so close like you guys were, Baltimore up 20-0 at one point, the Miami game, the Washington game, does that give you guys some confidence to know that you are that close?
Definitely. And we know it's the play away. It's all about – it's a game of inches. And
the D came up with the play in Miami. Corey Lemonnier, the strip sack, sets up the field goal, and unfortunately, you know, at that point, it missed.
Yeah, like I said, it's really a game of inches, and the plays – that we need to harness and take advantage. We have to take advantage of them. And I think that's playing a full 60-minute game. And that's the thing that we talked about coming into New England game. Obviously, we didn't get the results we wanted, but playing a full 60 minutes. So now we have to go to Tennessee and play a full 60 minutes. And we play a full 60 minutes, I'm going with the Browns, because that's where our team is. And I think we're building to become a great team.
All right, we'll talk about Marcus Mariota in a sec, because this will be your second opportunity to go against him, and obviously you did in college as well. But Cody Kessler was not expected to play this year, and coming out of the preseason, you know, it looked, if he had to play, it looked tenuous at best. He's come out, put you in position to win at Miami, at Washington, and of course had the nice drive against New England, tied it up at 7-7-4, getting knocked out of that game. Did you think he would be able to do this quickly?
I think so. When I played against him at USC, the thing that we scouted and Coach Leach and all our coaches would always talk about him when we played him is he's a good game manager. And I think that was one of the reasons why Cleveland Browns drafted him, is because he's a good game manager. And when he came into the game, he did just that. He managed the game, made the throws he needed to make. And if they didn't work, you know, the defense got on the field. And I think Cody's did everything, you know, he was asked to do as a rookie and more, to be honest.
You guys have, of course, you know, fallen to 0-5, but could, you know, very well be 3-2 at this point right now. And the one question that continues to come up: how do guys stay motivated in the face of not having that victory? Does that fall on Hugh Jackson? Does that fall on the leaders in that locker room, the Joe Haydens, the Joe Thomas, the Demario Davis of the world? So, you know, I'm asking you that question: is how do you guys stay motivated? Is it more about we know we're better than we've put out there or than our record shows? Mm-hmm. And then just, you know, the faith that you have in Hugh Jackson as your head football coach to have you guys ready each day.
Well, the motivation, I think, from a lot of the guys was, you know, seeing those Tom Brady jerseys around at the stadium. I mean, that humbled me a little bit. Like, hey, we got to get our stuff together. There's more people from the Patriots than it is in the Browns. We need them.
Yeah.
We need the fans there. We need them cheering. That sets the tempo. If we make a big play, the crowd is going crazy. Like, so I encourage all the Browns fans to keep coming out, man, and keep cheering and keep believing, because I'm telling you, the turnaround is coming soon, real soon.
Well, you can see that impact. I mean, you guys completely silenced the crowd in Miami and in Washington. I mean, completely took the crowd in Washington out of that game, and that is a very, very powerful thing. By the way, some roster moves here for the Cleveland Browns today. They have brought Gabe Wright back to your defensive line room, who I think has had a very productive start to his time here with the Cleveland Browns. And they have signed Kevin Hogan, who you went against in college as well, to the active roster. And I am sad to report you now once again officially have the best hair in Berea. Charlie Whitehurst has been terminated with an injury settlement. Clipboard Jesus, it was brief. It was maybe spectacular.
Checked out, Charlie.
But it is over. I mean, so there it is. So they have signed Kevin Hogan to the active roster. That shows that there's still some uncertainty at the quarterback position with McCown and Cody Kessler. Gabe Wright back. Let's talk about, first of all, Gabe Wright. I thought he played well. Young man out of Auburn, came in from the Detroit Lions, was around the quarterback a couple of times. You needed to shuffle the roster with the injuries on the O-line. Good to get him back. What's he like?
I think Gabe's a competitive guy. You know, he
big beard.
Yeah, big beard. He does have a good beard. We'll give him that. So shout out to Gabe.
Is it better than Meter's?
I don't think anybody's got a better beard than Meter. Meter got the best beard in the room. But
Gabe's like a chin strap on steroids.
Exactly. Meter has the full.
He has the full thing. Right.
So it's been good having Gabe in there. He's high energy guy. You know, loves to play around, loves the game. You can tell. So you know, you always want those guys in the room, and guys that are going to compete and just go out and have fun. Because ultimately, we're playing the kids' game.
You gave us the Cougar scouting report on Cody Kessler. What was the Cougar scouting report on Kevin Hogan?
Oh, we thought Hogan was tough when I played against him. I mean, he took hits. He would be running the ball downfield and take a hit and get up and get the offense right back going. So I think he's a tough player. He's always been tough, you know, just going against him at Stanford.
All right, and he is now on the Browns active roster. Again, Charlie Whitehurst released by the Browns today, and they had the extra spot after releasing the offensive lineman Fabiano yesterday. Wilhelm, Charlie Whitehurst, no, I was waiting for a Jewel appearance.
He is who we thought he was. He is who I thought he was.
Well, he is Charlie Whitehurst, but anyway, it's his time has come and gone. All right, let's talk a little bit about Mariota since let's just go through the whole Pac-12 quarterback situation.
Might as well.
Marcus Mariota, you played against him last year here. Obviously, it was early in his career, second game, and the Browns got the best of him there. What do you guys have to do to slow down this Tennessee team that right now is playing kind of an old-school style football, leaning on DeMarco Murray? They've got the big back Derrick Henry, mm-hmm. Delanie Walker, the good tight end. But what do you got to do against this Titans team to kind of slow down this offense?
Well, we got to stop that run, most and foremost. You see DeMarco Murray, I think he has, I want to say the most missed tackles has been on him. So, you know, he's a good runner. He's been around, a vet-savvy guy. We got to get him down. We got to get the rookie down. And then, you know, we're going to force Mariota to sit in that pocket and throw the ball. And we like our chances if we can do that.
And that is a big challenge. And just talk about how Nathan and I talked about getting Tom Brady off that spot, a pure pocket passer, and now you're going to go against a guy who, of course, wants to sit in the pocket and throw the football because that's what it takes to play, you know, quarterback at a high level in the NFL, but also can make plays with his legs. What are what's some of the stress that an athletic quarterback puts on a defense?
A lot. You know, guys got to be where they got to be at the right time, because if you get out of your gap, you know, he's going to hit it outside, and so it's important. It's really important that we contain Mariota, because I know he's going to be one to run. I played against him every year in college, and that's what he did. It one play will get sacked, and another play will go for a run for 56 yards. I mean, he did it to be more than what. So I know we got to contain him and get him down to the ground.
Get him down to the ground. I wanted to ask you something about, you know, when you're going against tight ends like a Gronk or Martellus Bennett. And I know sometimes you're inside, sometimes you get out there a little bit farther out. Is it something when you have a tight end that's disruptive? What pressure does that put on the defense?
It puts a lot, because, you know, they want to get Gronk in matchups. That's the best thing about having an athletic tight end like Gronk, is you get him in these matchups with guys smaller. And so if he's winning, he's winning. And so that puts a lot of stress on the other guys, because we got to win to, you know, get rid of the time he's winning.
Sure.
So that's I think we try to do that ultimately against New England, but, you know, obviously, you
they
know,
got the, two of them. It's ridiculous.
Got two of them.
It's too many.
They got
Bennett. Break up the Patriots.
Yeah. Last question for me, and it's something I ask a lot of you young guys who are just kind of getting started in the NFL. Who in the game right now do you study and watch that's really dominant as an internal defensive lineman that you want to kind of develop your game after?
I watch, you know, a guy by the name of Aaron Donald. I watch him a lot, and I also watch Michael Bennett from the Seattle Seahawks. I watch both of those guys. I watched Michael Bennett's career as it, you know, started off slow, and then you see, you know, his dominance now. So I watch those guys, and just watching, you know, a lot of the guys right now, like if we go against a team, I watch that offense, but I also go and watch their defense. You know, a guy who I studied in the offseason from Tennessee, Jarrell Casey.
Good player.
He played in this scheme, and yep. Very athletic. And so it's, you just got to watch those guys and how they play, and ultimately, you know, you can study all the film you want to, but you just got to
go out
there
and do it.
You got to just go out there and play. And that's something I believe in, is you always got to believe in yourself and always got to just continue to play, because it's something you've been doing for a long time. And I've been playing football for a long time. And every chance I get, I'm just going to play ball. That's what I like to do.
Kaepernick's going to start this week.
Colin Kaepernick going to get a start. Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
He should be. I mean, have you watched Blaine Gabbert? It hasn't been impressive thus far out there in San Francisco. All right. Wait, at Washington State, were you 4-3 or 3-4?
3-4.
A 3-4. Mm-hmm. This year, it seems like you guys are playing more four-man fronts than mm-hmm. I've seen the Browns play, certainly than last year. Is that something that you like? Because you're getting some inside, you're getting some outside. And, you know, Matt talks about it because he's very knowledgeable about the game, played in the NFL. But just talk about how the techniques are different when you're in those four-man fronts versus a three-man front and what you're asked to do.
For me, and I think for a lot of the guys in the four-man front, we're predominantly getting a one-on-one matchup. Especially for a guy like me who's at the three technique, I'm getting a one-on-one matchup on the guard. you know, depending on if the center's sliding to me. That's one thing, you know, I'm still learning on is I'm not rushing the guy in front of me. I'm rushing the formation too, and the protection as well. So that's something that you got to continue to work on, and that's clicking, you know, faster in the game for me. But I think, you know, we got Emmanuel Ogba. He's a guy who can, who I think the ceiling's unlimited. And Carl Nassib, same thing.
He got close to Brady a lot last week. Ogba did
a lot.
Three times he was right there.
Three times, and so the times that Ogba, say he gets there, you know, that helps us more, because now they're going to slide the protection to him. Now somebody else gets the one-on-one. So those type of things work out like that in the game, but you don't always get to see it, you know, from a fan's eye view. Or I'll be trying to explain it to people back home. I'm like, if this would have worked, we'd have been able to do this. This would have worked. So I understand the frustration, but I think, you know, we're, like I said, we got a really good group. I believe in our group. I truly do.
So for you as a three technique, it doesn't change that much if it's three man or four man front. It hasn't been that different for you.
I think,
or do you like it just because of the more isolation that you get up front?
I think it's a little bit more isolation in a three man front. Usually I may have to, you know, still work against the guard, but I may have to contain against the tackle. So because if the linebacker's dropping out, you know, obviously I gotta work outside to contain. So, you know, versus me being in a four man front, I got the DN right here who's getting his one on one, and I'm getting my one on one. So, you know, I think it's all about matchups, as you know, and that's what the coaches are trying to do, is put us in those positions.
And even furthermore, to me, it's almost like when you're in a four-man front, it's you on the defensive line. You guys complement each other, whereas in a 3-4 defense, it's like you've got to work more with the backers because of some of the stunts that you're going to bring out of that 3-4 defense. So you have to. So the defensive linemen have to complement the linebackers, where in a 4-3 front, it's the defensive line are working together. There's just a lot of games and stunts going on where you complement each other.
And there were some games. Yeah, there was one where Schobert came all the way from the left around all the way to the right, and it was right there. I think that was the one where he ended up hitting Bennett out in the flat, but he was very close. All right, what will it mean to get this first victory? Because I know you guys are so hungry for it, and I know you guys are fighting so hard and working so hard for it.
It'll mean a lot to us. I think we want to win every game. We never go into a game that we're just like, oh, you know, we're going to tank this. You know,
and I'm sure you expect to win every game.
Exactly. So this game, we're going in like any other game. We expect to win, like you said, and we're just going to go out there and take each day. That's what we do, is take each week by week. And we don't worry about, you know, the following week or the week after that. We just worry about Tennessee, and that's what we're going to do. We start practice tomorrow. So get a jump on them early.
And the last one for me, and I know we're going to let you go to this line that is just building by the minute, is the one thing I note that for me as a defensive player that I used to always get excited, it was like win or losses. If it was a loss, you wanted to get back to work and dive into whatever football team you're playing next. Or if you won, it was like, hey, we're rolling. You know, work is fun. Let me dive back in and keep that winning streak going. Was showing up Wednesday morning, tomorrow morning, and you're going to get that game plan presented to you by Ray Horton. That was something that was always exciting to me to see. Okay, what are the creative aspects that Ray and the staff have put together to help us go out and get that victory? Is that something that happens to you every Wednesday when that game plan is presented to you guys?
Definitely. I always like to see what Ray got dialed up, if he got any blitzes going inside, because if I see if any blitzes that's going inside him, majority of the time, I'm telling some of the young guys, no, I'm gonna take this rep. Like, so, you know, that's how, you know, the vets used to do me last year. I remember in the game, I was in the game with Dez Bryant, and I was at the right three technique, and that was Dez's side, and Dez said, go over to the left. I said, what do you mean? That's my side. He said, no, it's not. So, and that's the type of, you know, laws you gotta, you know.
Sure.
You gotta follow the vet laws. So until you put in your time, then you got the right to say something. So I'm putting in my time, and so now I want the matchup. So, you know, whatever matchup, you know, Ray tries to put me in,
you want to be able to exploit it.
Exactly.
Does it feel good going against a team that you've already beaten? Going this week against Titans, like, we know we've beaten them. We beat them last year. We can do it again. Does that give you like a little bit of an extra boost?
There's always been that back and forth with Tennessee. The year before I came in, I think they had
the biggest
comeback in NFL history, or one of them. So I know that they're going to be fired up for this game too. So I'm excited to get out there.
All right, well, Warren, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for being with us. Come out and see him, Xavier Cooper, here for a few more minutes here at the Discount Drug Mart in Copley on 38 South Medina Line Road. Joe Schobert will be with us. We'll hear from Josh McCown later in the show. John Costco from Pro Football Focus coming up here at 2 o'clock to go inside the numbers on this Browns team and take a look ahead to the Tennessee Titans. We'll be back with more from CBD Live on location at Discount Drug Mart.